You are watching Game Time Decisions. I am Gabriel Morenci. Welcome to the program that puts its money where its fantasies are on the Fantasy Sports Television Network. We've got a lot of stuff to get to, although the NFL football game is not one of them. We'll talk about it a little bit. I do have some props for you for this football game. I've got some picks just because I know you're a compulsive degenerate that's going to want to get some action in on this football game this evening. Teddy Covers steps up and in straight from the strip in Las Vegas, Nevada. We talk football. But, guys, listen, we're going to have a lot of time to talk about NFL football. The NFL playoffs are going to be cool. There are some good NFL games this week, actually. Tomorrow we'll jump more in on the NFL. We've been pretty college football heavy this week, but we got to continue that theme on the program this afternoon. Why? Because the NFL sucks, man. All right? It just does. Is anybody excited about tonight's football game? I shouldn't even be wearing a Washington Redskin. Why am I even wearing this? You know, we got a racist team name against a racist owner this evening. Hey, great stuff for the NFL. Meaningless football game. I'm sure they're going to sell. Or if they both run the table, they can go 10-6. And yeah, you know what? 10-6 wouldn't even be good enough to get you in the playoffs this year. It's not happening, all right? The game's a waste of time. It's on TV. We got some good college basketball going on, but it's all about football, man, college football. The college football season has been spectacular. The NFL season has been craptacular. So let's focus in on all these championship football games. We got Emory Hunt joining us. We got Joe Lisi joining us. We got Teddy Covers joining us as well. So let's get right down to business. We've talked a lot about the lameness and the stupidity of the National Football League's general managers and coaches this year. And it continues. The only thing stupider, all right, the only thing stupider than the New York Giants' decision to bench Eli Manning for Geno Smith is John Mara, New York Giant owner. What happened to Wellington? Is he gone now? I don't even know. Hard to keep up. Whatever. The Maras. John Mara's actually surprised about Eli's reaction. He's surprised and he's upset about this for one reason or another. Really? Are you freaking kidding me? You're surprised? You're benching a guy that won two Super Bowls for you that started 210 consecutive football games for you? And you know what? You know, whose side are you taking on this? What, you know, McAdoo's side? This reminds me of like Michel Therrien and P.K. Subban. And P.K. Subban's not in the same status as an Eli Manning is. But it reminds me of this. You got a jackass coach that's not even going to be around after the fact. And, you know, I don't know what the hell the New York Giants are doing. But the only thing stupider than the New York Giants and all these other dumbasses in the NFL that would rather lose than make a good decision, is Conor McGregor. And we got to get to some Conor McGregor, right? It's been a couple of months since we've talked about Conor McGregor. That's a shame, isn't it? Yeah. I really don't want to dislike this guy as much as I do, but is there anything about Conor McGregor to like? Like, is there anything? Is there one thing? Is he a nice guy? I don't know. He's a homophobe. Man, he's quasi-racist. No, I guess he's just talking, though. No, he's always just talking. But it's okay. You know the episode of The Simpsons with Grimes? Look at me. I'm Homer Simpson. You know, I can do whatever I want. That's basically what Conor McGregor is right now. And, you know, like Rocky said, and I didn't see the latest Rocky movie. I want to see it, man. And it actually looks good. I never, next time I sit down and I have a couple hours of spare time, which is never, I'm going to watch that latest Rocky movie. But I remember in the promo when he looked into the mirror and he said, the toughest competitor you'll ever have is yourself, right? Or you're looking at him, whatever. You ain't get it. That's Conor McGregor's deal right now. So I don't know. What do you like about? What does that even tell me? Please feel free in the comment section. What do you like about Conor McGregor? You like the fact that he runs his mouth so much? A lot of guys run their mouth so much. It's not like he's an awesome fighter. He's good. I mean, you know, the guy tapped faster against Nate Diaz than I go through a pack of zigzags. At least Bisping went to sleep. This guy taps right away, gets up, I'm humble in defeat, and then starts talking again. He got schooled by a 40-year-old man that didn't train and spent every night at a strip club, which was true. He filmed it. He was at a strip club until 5 in the morning every night. He's 40 years old, and he didn't train, and he didn't fight for 2 years. And he used Conor's head like a freaking pinata. It was like a Donald Trump pinata on Cinco de Mayo in Mexico City. Ding, 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 ding. Oh, he's great, though. I know, he's awesome. Guy refuses to fight Khabib. He's awesome. He refuses to fight Tony Ferguson. He's awesome. Well, so Conor McGregor's out in Ireland, and he gets into it. All right? He gets into it in a bar. One of his buddies is getting into it with somebody. Conor McGregor intervenes. Conor McGregor pops somebody. But unfortunately for Conor McGregor, he knocked out a son of a drug warlord, all right, in Ireland and Europe. A notorious gang. Was it the Hawk Gang? A notorious gang. Okay, these guys have, like, shot up places. They've whacked people. Like, they're known for their ruthlessness. So Conor McGregor knocks out the son of this cartel. And word on the street is they put, like, a $500,000 hit on him. Now, it translates to $900,000 to us, but I think it's, like, $500,000 of their money, and it turns into about $9,000. Now, I don't think it's to whack him. I think it's just to get him type of deal. Now, is this just internet rumors and everything else? No, it isn't. Even Dana White didn't deny it and said, I think we can work this out. It's okay. And, you know, he brought up how Jake LaMotta knocked out a mobster once, and it was worked out. It's serious enough that the Irish police have actually contacted Conor McGregor and told him, this is real, you're in danger. Like, this is serious. You are in danger. There are reports, and, there's some great follows on Twitter. If you follow me on Twitter, I retweet them. I don't want to get the Twitter handles wrong. But, you know, the fitness blue girl out of Ireland, always ahead of the curve when it comes to Conor McGregor, she threw it out there that she's hearing that Conor McGregor's father is actually in Dubai right now, you know, getting the money and putting this stuff together, starting at $1 million. $1 million won't be enough. You know, Conor McGregor, I'm telling you guys right now, this is the Mike Tyson deal, man. Mike Tyson ended up going to jail. I don't know if Conor McGregor's going to end up going to jail. Conor McGregor's going to do something even stupider than he's already done, man. All right, I'm telling you. The guy thinks he's invincible. Nobody's invincible. And Conor McGregor has the backing of Dana White and a powerful UFC behind him right now. I don't know if he's paid attention to everybody else that used to be powerful in the UFC and where they are right now. Conor McGregor is an entertaining guy. He is a very good fighter. I'm not going to say he's not a good fighter, but I just don't understand all you fanboys that think he's the greatest thing ever. He's one of the greatest entertainers ever, if you're into racist, loudmouth Irishmen. He's a classless jerk. And you know what? I'm just eating my popcorn, kicking back and watching this right now. But I'm telling you what, and mark my words right now, it won't end well for Conor McGregor. He's going to lose. When he comes back, he's going to lose. He's going to end up, the shine eventually wore off with you fanboys eventually, I guess, right? Can he do anything wrong? Even if he loses and he bitches out and he taps out right away, he's still so Mr. Cool to you. I don't get it. And I think it's pretty funny that in reality, he's actually, he's pissing his pants right now and he's trying to buy out a deal with these guys, and he's walking around this morning saying, come and get me, come and get me. It's funny, that's not what you were saying when you were calling a UFC crime the other night, now was it? It's actually freaking comical. He's not going to get whacked. It's going to cost him a lot of money, and if he doesn't pay him, another thing is too, all of his fights are tainted. I don't know, maybe they just tell him, listen, we're not going to whack you, but you're going to lose your next fight. So if he loses his next fight, in the back of my mind, I'd be thinking, how the hell do I know he just didn't roll over because they told him we're going to kill you? You know, the thing is, he's a jackass, and he is his biggest enemy. And mark my words, when it's all said and done, Conor McGregor's going to end up broke, in jail. Something bad along the way is going to happen here. You know, you can't dance with the devil before you get the pitchfork. Game Time Decisions continues.
Playing daily fantasy basketball this year? Consider Daily Roto your go-to resource. Whether you play on DraftKings or FanDuel, Daily Roto's customizable projections, podcasts, strategy guides, and lineup optimizer will help you compete with the pros in a fraction of the time. With a team featuring millionaire maker winners and live final champions, there's no better place to get your NBA DFS content. Better yet, you can save 10% using the promo code FNTSY. So go to dailyroto.com/premium and learn more about our awesome product.
Game Time Decisions on the Fantasy Sports Network continues. I am Gabriel Morenci, and we are live All right, we got a great show for you. Football, football, more football. And you know what? Speaking of football, I just realized I forgot to put tonight's football games in the plays of the day. And I'm not talking about the NFL. I'm talking about real football, MLS football. We gave you the Seattle pick last night because it was part of the parlay. So we just need the Seattle Sounders right now to close out that TFC parlay. But, man, that was sweet last night, boys. We had TFC in the parlay, so now we just have the Sounders to win at plus 162, and they're minus 135 favorites. We hit TFC outright last night on its own. We hit the under 2.5, and I bet that like 3 or 4 times. We hit the in-game under 1.5, and they were all plus money, plus money, plus money, plus money. And, you know, we often complain about our bad beats here because it's more entertaining for me to yell and complain and tell you, oh, it was great, I won last night. But last night, man, you know, I'm doing a live show, doing a podcast, man. There's like 300 degenerate gamblers tuning in, and, you know, we're going in. And, you know, the Lakers were hitting shots. I said, all right, let's grab the in-game over here of this Lakers-Warriors game. Hits the wall. We need overtime. Otherwise, we lose. Went to overtime. And everybody wins. Everybody's a winner, including Ted Savransky. He's always a winner. Teddy! Las Vegas, Nevada. What's up, Teddy?
I got one lucky in overtime last night, too, man. I had the Northern Iowa against the Rebels.
Oh. So what did you have? You had a side or you had Northern Iowa?
Yeah, I had Northern Iowa at a pick'em price against you. We ended up closing as chalk in that ball game. But they were a sweat just to get to OT, and then they ran them out in the extra possession. Of course, underbetters just took the gas pipe in that one. That was brutal.
Yeah.
getting on thunder from the get-go, and it goes to overtime, and you know, that's a bad beat. So, but you had one of those with the Warriors-Lakers.
It was tough, Teddy, because Kevin Durant, of all people, he was hitting shots at the end, and I sort of reverse psychology'd it, even though I know it means nothing. And you know what I mean? Me and Malinsky talked about this. Like, our words mean nothing during these games. But it was like, we need overtime. There's 15 seconds left, and Durant's with the ball. And I'm like, dear God. So I'm like, God, guys, there's no way he's going to miss. I'm like, he's not going to miss. You know, we're about to lose in about 3 seconds, and a shot goes up. He missed! I'm like, I did that on purpose. I said not to reverse it. I knew it. And then it goes sails over the number. And it's funny, though, like, people don't watch these games, wake up in the morning and look at the scores and the box scores, Teddy. They have no idea the roller coasters these games, do they?
Sure, and look, I mean, that's why we watch. You know, we're watchers. I find that I learn a lot more about teams from watching them than I do from reading a box score after. Not that you have to do the statistical analysis.
Yeah.
That's a piece of the puzzle, but it's not the only piece of the puzzle. I know there are a lot of bettors who bet big money, sharp, wise guys here in Las Vegas. They don't watch games, you know. They don't care about games. They don't look for coaches' quotes. They say, I'm going to crunch the numbers, and when my numbers say I'm going to bet, that's what I bet. More power to them, but that's not the strategy that's worked for me. What's worked for me is watching games, picking up tidbits, and then using those either in-game or moving forward to help you in your handicap besides just the hardcore numbers.
And people don't want to hear this because they always want picks before, but you say it, and I'm getting wiser and more disciplined now, Teddy. I really am. Like, I've learned a few lessons. I had to. I really
am. I'm taking the under on you being wiser and more disciplined.
No. You know what? I'm wiser, but not more disciplined. Is that fair?
Fair, sure.
Yeah, that's fair. I'm smarter, but I'm not more disciplined. If I was more disciplined, you're right. I wouldn't have put $600 on an in-game over last night in the Laker game just because I was in a chat. Oh, let's go all in, boys. You know, it was one of those type of deals. But I'm starting to learn as well. In game. You know, it's our egos. We need to, you got to have an opinion before the game. No, you know what? I want to see the tempo. I want to see what's going on. And also, instead of like picking games, Teddy, of like Jernadar, these are my best bets. I've found recently, since college basketball started specifically, and even with the NBA, it's better to just have your money in an account and kick back and watch it like a stock market and these in-games. And like, damn, I can get this team at plus money. You can get both teams at plus money, man, in this stuff. You got to be watching the games and watching the ebbs and flows of the roller coaster. But that's where I've been making the bulk of my money over the last 2 weeks, with in-games, plus money. You know, getting teams, oh, they're only down by 7. I mean, the other night I took a hockey game. It was Edmonton Oilers were minus 200 favorites, Teddy. They were losing 10-1 with 10 minutes left. Suddenly they were plus 290. So what? They score one goal. The game's tied. They did, and they won the game. I hit a plus 290. So we force these bets. Oh, we got to get in on the card tonight. I think it's wiser almost to have that money in your account, kick back, and when you see an opportunity, bet it, as opposed to forcing these bets pregame all the time.
Sure. Well, I, again, if you're forcing bets at any point, you're going to struggle. I mean, it really is. If you have a problem with, I don't see an edge here, therefore I'm not going to bet the game.
Yeah.
You shouldn't be gambling.
But you know, a lot of average guys will bet tonight's football game because it's on TV. They hate the game, but they're betting it tonight. The Redskins-Cowboys game. You know that's
sure,
true.
And for $20, whatever, for $50, you know, if you're betting small money, it's fine. Have some action. All right, you want some action on the game, no big deal. When you start betting for real and you're betting on games where you don't have strong opinions and, you know, I mean, it's just because it's on TV, that's where people get into trouble.
Yeah.
You know, and you've seen it happen. I've seen it happen. It's something that we have to acknowledge and recognize. But when you talk about in-game, and I'm with you on the opportunities available for in-game betting. You know, you spend all week looking for a half point somewhere. You know, oh, can I find this hook? Can I find this hook? And then 2 minutes into the game, there it is. I mean, literally. Oh, I'm waiting. I'll have to wait for it to get to 3.5.
I'll tell you, sure, you watch basketball. I don't really want to lay 7. All right, the other team hits 2 threes to start the game, and suddenly it's a pick 'em. You're like, all right, I'm in.
But you find those opportunities day in, day out.
Yes.
There is a drawback. You know, there is a drawback in the live betting, and that's it's not 11 to win 10. You know, the standard juice is minus 115. Sometimes you'll even lay in 120.
Yeah, yeah.
So the house takeout is greater, and that'll eat you up if you're making bet after bet after bet, night after night after night, not winning them, you know, not winning a majority of those wagers. So be aware of the extra juice, but also be aware of the opportunities. There's certainly some good opportunities out there every night when it comes to in-game wagering.
All right, I don't want to spend too much time on this game. I prefer to talk about college football than the NFL right now. Redskins, Cowboys tonight, total train wreck. Both teams come in with 5-6 records. I would say that spiritually or mentally, the Redskins are in a better place than the Cowboys are right now. I am buying the reports about the players getting upset about Jason Garrett and the lack of adjustments, in which, you know, players are stating, you know, we don't have the same team as we did a month ago, yet we're running the same plays. We're doing the exact same things, and nothing changes. And Phillip Rivers was calling out our blitzes before they were happening because we're so predictable. And that's why he picked us apart. So I'm sort of buying into that. I don't think the Redskins hate each other. I think the Redskins battle. They're hurt. They just are who they are. They're an 8-8 caliber football team. What do you make of this game tonight?
I can't bet Dallas, flat out. You know, I've been betting against the Cowboys. I had a winning bet against them last week. Had a winning bet against them the week before. Things are broken for this Cowboys team. And when you're talking about a coach who hasn't really shown his mettle in terms of in-game adjustments, in terms of getting the Cowboys to step up for their biggest games or for the must-win games. You know, Jason Garrett hasn't ever been that guy. And when you look at the second half results for this team over the last 3 weeks, they're ugly. I mean, as ugly as it gets. Dak Prescott's QB rating over the last 3 weeks is lower than DeShone Kizer. All right. Forget that. See, you're going to see a graphic there with his season numbers. Great, season numbers look good. The last 3 weeks, his numbers are worse than the worst quarterback in the NFL. Okay, that's where Dallas is right now. Now, the Redskins' defense is garbage. And do I trust Washington to lay a price with them on the highway? I do not. But if you're taking Dallas, there's a leap of faith here that you're going to see something this week that we haven't seen for the last 3 weeks, which is a Cowboy team that shows up after halftime. I'm not willing to do it. Lean over here, but the markets have already priced me out of it. 44.5 up to 46.
Yeah. I know. I see that. You know, Dallas Cowboys have failed to score at least 10 points in 3 straight games for the first time in franchise history. Wow. All right. Enough of that crap. I agree with you. Redskins any over if you're playing it. All right.
Well, the Redskins, both numbers are gone, though. We can't tell. I mean, you know, Redskins were dogs in this game. Now you're laying 2.
I'm giving the Redskins any over in my plays of the day, but I'm going to specify that we're giving this because you're asking for it, and it's on TV. like you said, recreational play, that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to bet amount on this game that I won't get mad if I lose. That's the deal. Like, normally, you know, you want to bet, well, what makes you uncomfortable, right? No, what's comfortable? you know, it's one of those, just so when I flick over there, yeah, all right, there it is. All right, let's talk some college football, and I want to get your take on the Michigan State-Notre Dame college basketball game as well, but let's blast through some college football. I got a bunch of games here, so I'll just sort of go rapid fire, Teddy. Give me your quick take, pass, like, love, hate, whatever. Stanford-USC, Friday night. To me, I got a better coach, I got a better defense, I got the best player on the field with Bryce Love. That's 3 for 3. And, oh, yeah, it's in Stanford's backyard. I got 4 tangibles here with a Stanford Cardinal. I like Stanford. I think they win the game outright.
They could. And if I'm taking – let's put it this way. If I take Stanford, I'll probably take them on the money line as opposed to plus the points because they're capable of beating USC. That being said – if you watch the first meeting between these two teams, real hard to get to the window with Stanford in the second meeting because USC was able to obliterate them in the trenches. And Stanford, when they're not dominating the trenches, doesn't win a whole lot of games. So that's a big, you know, watching that first meeting doesn't allow me to bet Stanford in the second meeting because I saw the way that USC controlled the line of scrimmage on both sides of the football.
I'll note Stanford have won 8 of the last 9 football games. Offense recharged with Costello in there at that quarterback. That was USC's best performance of the year. I'm not going to take it away from them. That was the best football game that they played. I was on Stanford the first time. I'll be on Stanford the second time. All right, Akron and Toledo, not the sexiest of games. You know, Toledo finally gets to the big game here. You know, they usually have great regular seasons, and then they can't win and get there. They finally do get here. I don't know. Now they're in a championship game. They don't need to win by 22. It seems like an incredibly high amount of points to me. But I know Akron's offense is pedestrian is being kind. But I still think the number's too high.
I don't disagree. It's not a game I'm going to have any action on. I haven't done much with the MAC all year. But I'll say this much. Watch Logan Woodside. Logan Woodside is a special quarterback from the MAC. And the guys who the MAC QBs who are elite, you know, the Dan LeFevers of the world, all they do is make you money. You know, Ben Roethlisberger made, you know, out of Miami O. A lot of money went, and this is an elite quarterback on the fast track of Ford Field. I'm not stepping in front of Toledo in this one. I'll tell you that one.
Yeah, I know. Thinking, you can look at it two ways with you know, Bowden did a nice job getting the Zips into a bowl game, you know, or into a bowl game and into the championship game. Is that enough for them? Bowden getting this many points is a nice number. Speaking of good quarterback play, we're going to have some nice quarterback play in Memphis and Central Florida. Call me Sammy Square. I'm betting the over.
I wouldn't talk you out of it. I sure wouldn't talk it. Again, this has all the makings of an over for so many reasons. Both teams are going to play with tempo. You're going to see up, you know, no huddle. The, you know, minute and a half, 8-play drives that march on the field. So both squads are playing with tempo. Both squads are explosive in terms of their playmakers. I mean, big time, not just the quarterbacks, playmakers at receiver, playmakers at running back, guys that can turn a 7-yard gain into a 60-yard touchdown. So I expect to see the big plays. I expect to see the tempo. And, you know, certainly from the Memphis standpoint, their defense has been spotty at best. I'm not sure that UCF's defense is coming to play here either. So, yeah, sure, totals in the 80s. Sounds crazy. You need 14 touchdowns to already know. Yeah, sorry, you need 12 touchdowns to win. I think you get 12 touchdowns here. I think you might get more.
Yeah, I think they get into the 90s. I do. Yesterday we had Mark Lawrence on. He brought up, actually, Teddy, this is the highest total for any conference championship game in history.
And deservedly so.
Yeah. And you know what? I could have justified making it 86, to be honest with you. TCU, Oklahoma. I was kind of torn the first time they played, but I think it's too much. You talk, you know, the leap of faith, and gamblers know what I'm talking about. I think it's a leap of faith, man. And, you know, if you're taking Kenny Hill here and you're hoping they're going to be able to hang around, yeah, they could. You know what I mean? They could, but they need to play a damn perfect game, and they would need Oklahoma not to. And Oklahoma in past years have had that taint of, oh, they don't show up in big games and stuff. I don't know. So you're going to lose some big games when you play in a million big games, right? But now they got Lincoln Riley there. This Oklahoma team, Teddy, you know, I'm looking at an eyeball test, and when I see these guys, they're playing angry. They play downhill, man. This is not an Oklahoma team I want to get in front of.
You know, I agree with all of that. And certainly Kenny Hill is not a quarterback that I trust in a big game. Kenny Hill's been lighting up bad defenses. He has not stepped up in class particularly well this season. More than once when he's faced a good defense, Kenny Hill has struggled. But look at TCU's defensive numbers. They're not just good. They're off the charts. Their last seven games.
I know.
After halftime, TCU has given up a grand total of 2 field goals.
So you think they can blow it up in the trenches?
Seven games, Morency, against Big 12 offenses after halftime. 2 field goals total.
I know, they're suffocating. It's like they swarm.
I mean, Gary Patterson's making real good adjustments is all I'm going to say. And from a defensive standpoint, TCU has the better defense. They're number one in the Big 12 against the rush, and they've been slowing down some pretty potent passing games on a pretty consistent basis. They did it to Oklahoma in the first meeting, 38-14 at halftime, 38-20 final score.
Yep.
You might say Sooners backed off. TCU did some things right. And, you know, with the ugly QB, it's a QB mismatch in my mind. Makes it hard to get to the window with TCU. But from a defensive standpoint, I am not looking to ask any team to beat TCU by more than one score. That defense is elite.
You know, and I was, like you said, this game worries me, you know, a bit. I respect Paul Bovey. Excuse me, guys. And our guy's trying to turn my mic off when I cough. But
take a break. I'll carry the show for a minute, buddy.
He can't turn it off. He can't turn it off enough. I got to get some water during the commercial break here.
I understand. You know, there's no way around it.
No, I know. And I'm sick, too, right? So normally I'm online. I don't care. I'll just hack through it. But a little different here. I could use some water, though. I'll tell you that much. But, you know, I respect the hell out of Paul Bovey. And I remember Bovey went big on TCU the first time. And I think he wants to go back to the well. I respect Dave Malinsky. Dave, earlier in the week, I know Dave's kicking the tires on TCU here because of this defense. But I just have a hard time doing it. All right, Ted, we got about a minute left here. So I'll throw the SEC game at you. I was all over Auburn. And that sort of is what got me going. You know, I was in a little bit of a funk. But that weekend and that game, I was confident. I went pretty big on Auburn in that spot. I'm leading with Georgia right now, to be honest with you. I think it's a tough deal for Auburn here. And I think if you're Georgia, everything's falling into place. And they're foaming at the mouth with rabies right now.
Good game. This is a good – this game, you guess which championship game got the most likely to go to overtime. You know, this has that feel to it. And I don't think there was anything fraudulent about Auburn's win in the first meeting. That being said, Georgia sent a bunch of tape to the SEC saying we were being held on every play. I really like Jake Fromm. You know, he's a QB that I'd rather have my money on than against. And I remember the quote going into Notre Dame when I'm like, oh, we can't back Georgia with a backup quarterback going to Notre Dame. And the quote coming out of that Bulldogs locker room is, this kid was born ready. I agree with that. Good game. I'm going to get involved. I don't think I get involved in game unless I'm getting +7.5 with the team that I think's live.
All right, Teddy, we got to get out of here. Check out Teddy over at SBR's YouTube page. You can follow him on Twitter at Teddy Covers, sportsmemo.com, Covers Experts. Thanks for the time, Teddy.
Cheers. Always a pleasure.
All right, we'll take a quick break. Who's up next? Who's up next? Emery Hunt's up next. We got Joe Lisi, Emery Hunt. We're talking football. Football!
If you're playing daily fantasy basketball on DraftKings or FanDuel this NBA season, you need to sign up for Daily Roto. Built by a team featuring millionaire maker winners and live final champions, Daily Roto's customizable projections, podcasts, strategy guides, and lineup optimizer will help you compete with the pros in a fraction of the time. Better yet, you can save 10% off using the promo code FNTSY. So go to dailyroto.com/premium to learn more about their product.
All right, Game Time Decisions on the Fantasy Sports Network continues. I am Gabriel Morency. Joe Lisi is going to join us in a couple of minutes. We're going to track down Emery Hunt right now. Emery Hunt will join us momentarily. Thanks to Teddy Covers for joining us on the program. Didn't even get a chance to get to the NBA games tonight and the college basketball with Teddy, but You know, this show flies by, man, especially this time of the year. There's so much stuff going on. So just quickly, we'll get it out of the way. Tonight, the Seattle Sounders are playing the Houston Dynamo. If they win, they advance to the MLS Cup. That'll be next Saturday in Toronto. TFC beat Columbus last night, 1-0. We gave you the parlay last night at plus 162. So now we just need Seattle to close this out for a plus 162 parlay. But if you didn't get in on the parlay last night, I do think Seattle are going to win the game tonight anyways. They're up 2-0 on the aggregate. I'm not a fan of aggregate stuff. I think it's stupid. I get it in certain tournament situations, but if you're in the playoffs and stuff, I think it's dumb. But anyways, they scored two goals on the road last week. So Houston are going to need to open this up, and they're going to need to score. But Seattle are a championship team. They're defending champions. Clint Dempsey's on fire. They're not going to just let Houston, we're going to let Houston score on us. Seattle are going to play this game like it's nil-nil. And they're going to win the game. They're a much better team than Houston. So it's only minus 135. So if you didn't get on the parlay last night, you can get in on that tonight. I didn't get it in the plays of the day. That's why I wanted to let you know about that. Let's bring in Emery Hunt right now and talk some football. EpicGamePlan.com. What's going on, Emery? How you doing, man?
What's going on, Gabe? I'm doing fine. How you doing?
Hey, always a pleasure. So quickly on the Redskins and the Cowboys tonight, because I'd rather talk college. What's your take on this football, this train wreck of a football game tonight? 2-5-6 teams.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see. I think this is a game where the Washington allows one loss to become two. That was a bad loss against New Orleans. They suffered last week. So I think that carries over into this week. I like the Cowboys.
Right. We're having some technical difficulties here with Emery Hunt.
Can you hear me?
I apologize. I don't know. It looks like we're doomed today. Something just blew up in my headset. I apologize to Emery here. I can't hear him. I can't hear anything. Our headset just exploded. I thought it was over the airwaves. It was like this high ringing, incredibly pitched sound. And I said, probably be a good idea to check the batteries of these things before the shows, but I'm just stating. Are you still there, Emery? I apologize for that.
Yep, I'm here.
Yeah, I don't know, Emery. One thing after another. Yeah, I thought it was your phone, man. Like, I just had this, like, high-pitched sort of explosion sound. I was like, oh, dear God, Kim Jong-un's got us all. And no, it was just my headset exploded, evidently. So, yeah, this 5-6 football game tonight. I think the Redskins are going to win this game because, as I stated a couple of minutes ago, they I think the Cowboys have basically quit. It's been three straight games. The Cowboys scored 10 points or less. There's a lot of murmurs about Jason Garrett and the players thinking he's an idiot. At least the Redskins come in, you know, not hating life and not everyone suspended and they don't have a racist owner. Well, actually, I don't know about that, but you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, I just think that the Cowboys, the Redskins, lost last week in a worse way against New Orleans, and this is a situation where they let one loss become two. I like the Cowboys tonight.
You like the Cowboys tonight, really, huh? Yeah, one loss become two. They're already into three losses now. You know, like what? You know, you think they're going to stop the bleeding? Like, I just don't think they have any pride.
No, I'm talking about the Redskins will allow one loss to become two. The way they lost against New Orleans was horrible, which, you know, that could really deflate a football team. That's going to carry over, in my opinion, into this week into this game against the Cowboys. That's why I like Dallas.
All right, so let's jump into the college football. We've thrown a lot of the bigger games at people, but I love you because, you know, you're all over this stuff. North Texas and FAU. Listen, you know, before the year started, I told people at a betting conference in Costa Rica that the lock of the year, one of my locks of the year, was Florida Atlantic to go over 4.5 wins. Well, they won 9 games. You know, that was, you know, I was bang on there. But I tell you what, everybody's praising Lane Kiffin, and Lane Kiffin's done a nice job with this team. Nobody talks about the mean green, and North Texas come in with identical 9-win record here. They can throw the ball. They can put points up on the board. I think we got a high-scoring game. FAU's going to be tough to beat on their home field, but North Texas is a good team. FAU annihilated them earlier in the year, though. What's your take on this one?
Yeah, that's an interesting game because North Texas is quietly putting together back-to-back excellent seasons. And now they find themselves in position to play for a conference championship. So does Lane Kiffin and FAU. And we weren't going to say that in the beginning of the season when they were struggling. And now they finally got together. And now Lane Kiffin has a chance to be a conference champ as well in the primetime setting. I think they go in there and roll. So I will lay the points with FAU in this game.
Yeah, you think it's the icing on the cake, Lane Kiffin. And then after the game, he goes on Twitter and he trolls Tennessee some more.
I agree.
he goes on Twitter. All right, Memphis and UCF. This will be a fun football game. I'm expecting a boatload of points here. What do you make of this one? Do you think Memphis can hang around, or is this a similar situation? I can almost see this might be Scott Frost's last home game, actually. I can see them just rolling here, but Memphis have a great offense. Their defense is non-existent. It's going to go over. I like the over 82. I think they might get in like to 100 points type of deal. Like literally, I think UCF will score 50, 55 points in this football game. The question is, can Memphis keep up? What's your take?
Yeah, I've seen Memphis play live before. They put up a quiet 70 points against UConn when I was up there earlier in the year. So their offense can definitely match points, like you mentioned, with UCF. And I think this game will mirror a lot of what we saw last week against USF. So I think that line is a little bit inflated. So look for Memphis to cover or take the points in the tie, because I think this will be a close game in the shootout.
All right. And finally, in closing, we got Miami and Clemson. Our boy Cameron 2, Drew, is in the booth today. He's probably thinking, Marenzi, you've broken down all these games like a million times, but you haven't touched Miami-Clemson much. Don't worry, we're going to jump in this. We'll get Emery's thoughts, and we're going to hit this game again tomorrow. But Miami and Clemson, what's your take on this one? I think it's pretty bad timing for Miami losing in, the fashion it did when they did. It's tough, when you're college kids, to pick yourself up after a loss like that, especially in a short turnaround against a tough team like Clemson. What's your take on this game?
I think Clemson will just take advantage of what Pitt was able to expose from Miami in that matchup. I think a lot of people already knew Miami was sort of one-dimensional, just like Georgia is sort of one-dimensional. So we know Miami will have issues throwing the football. Their top receiver was carted out of practice this week. So you're facing one of the top defenses in the country. I like the Tigers to roll in that one as well.
Hey, Emery, always a pleasure. We apologize for the technical difficulty there. Thanks for joining us.
Anytime, Gabe.
All right, there's Emery Hunt with us. All right, well, not Emery's fault, but that's probably the worst segment we've done in 4 years here. Not me, of course. Not me. But what can you do, guys? It's live TV sometimes. It seems to be one of these days today, actually, that whatever can go wrong will go wrong. But our apologies for that. Let's hope that Joe Lisi's Skype is ready to go. And we'll take a quick break. We'll come back, talk more college football.
Did you know that you can listen to this show live on the award-winning Fantasy Sports Radio Network? Listen on the iHeartRadio app, the TuneIn Radio app, or download the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network is the only totally free 24/7, 365 Fantasy Sports Network of its kind without a subscription. Check out YouTube Live on the Fantasy Sports Network YouTube page and participate in the programming there, where you can ask questions, discuss the topics with other fantasy enthusiasts, or tell everyone that you disagree. Call into your favorite show and ask your question. The number is 844-84-FNTSY. That's 844-843-6879. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network, your free fantasy source 24 hours a day.
Game time decisions on Fantasy Sports Network continues. Let's bring Joe Lisi in right now, and I'll join Joe and Rich Sermonello Saturday morning. They come on at 9 o'clock until noon. I join them at 10:39, 11:39 Eastern. And, I don't even know. Is this the swan song? What's the schedule? Is this the last show of the year?
No, Gabe. We're going to be going through January 6th. So we have a lot of guests lined up, big bowl specials. We'll have you on talking bowl football and national championship. Doesn't get better than that, does it?
Yeah, I knew we'd be back for, like, the playoff and stuff, but I wasn't sure about the Army-Navy week and everything else in between. All right, good stuff. Can't wait for the bowls. Everyone's talking about, it's going to be in the, who's going to be in the Final Four. I love seeing the bowl slate announced, like all the bowl games, and all right, you know, I can sort of, you know, map everything out, which games do I like the best. So let's just jump right in. Me and Joe will be on again Saturday morning going through all these games. Him and Rich Sermon, I'll go through every game. I'll be joining with my best bets of the week. But let's go rapid fire. We'll start off with Friday night's football game. Stanford and USC, it's going to be a good one. Big revenge spot. Big revenge spot for the Stanford Cardinal. I really like this Stanford team. Since they made a quarterback change, they've won eight, you know, they've won eight of their last nine football games. They had that little speed bump in up there in Pullman against Washington State, but Stanford are a damn good football team. I think they beat USC. I like Shaw better than Helton. They have a better defense. The game's in Santa Clara in their backyard, and I think Bryce Love's the best player on the field.
Yeah, I'm with you, Gabe. I think the reason why you're seeing a 3, 3.5 type of number or even 4 is because USC does have an extra week of preparation. But over the last three games for Stanford and wins against Washington, Notre Dame, and California, they're only giving up 148 rushing yards on the ground. And you look at USC's offense over the last couple of games against Colorado, UCLA on third down conversion, 6 of 24. That's only 25%. I'll take the team that can run the football and create turnovers. Stanford plus 14 in turnover margin. USC at plus 2. I think the Cardinal get a 10-point victory.
Cardinals by 10, says Joe. All right, Akron and Toledo. I ask you about this one to go quickly, but of course, Terry Bowden, friend of the show. I know you're a big Zip supporter, so you're going to be pulling for the Zips here. They're getting 21.5 points. This is one of these deals. Are they just going to be happy to be there, or are they going to show up and compete? You know, defensively, though, you know, defensively, they're only giving up 24.8 points per game. You know, people talk about their offense, but their defense is pretty tough. I think Akron are in tough to win this game outright, but I don't see why they can't hang around this 21 points.
Yeah, I'm with you. When you look at the past couple of championship games in the MAC, the underdogs fared very well last year, Ohio against Western Michigan. And when you look at the preparation by Terry Bowden and the staff, I think he'll come up with a good game plan. He does have Chuck Amato on the defensive side of the ball as a defensive coordinator. I look for Akron to run the football, get into a low-scoring game with Toledo, and I think they actually are in striking distance to pull off the upset.
All right, Baker Mayfield threw for 333 yards and 3 touchdowns against TCU earlier in the year. But, you know, they were up 38-14 at the half, and TCU shut them down in the second half. This is something a lot of people I respect are bringing up. The TCU made the adjustments, and that they might have figured something out, and their defense been on fire for the last 2 months or month and a half or so. What do you make of this one with the Sooners laying 7 to the Frogs?
Yeah, I like TCU here for a couple of factors. Gary Patterson in a rematch spot against Lincoln Riley, a first-year head coach, and I like the way TCU is playing on the defensive side of the ball. They're plus 6 in turnover margin, 29% holding opposing offenses on third-down conversions. And I look at Oklahoma's dominating home win against West Virginia. West Virginia utilized the Wildcat and rushed for 250 yards on the ground. Look for the same type of offensive game plan out of TCU and Kyle Hicks. I think they get a 37-33 victory over the Sooners.
Nick Chubb and Sonny Michel were held in check last month when they went up there to Auburn. You remember, I love the Auburn Tigers in that game, Joe. But that was then. This is now. If I'm Kirby Smart and you're the Georgia Bulldogs, what better? Like, everything has fallen into place for you here. You know, you responded after the loss well. You know, you handle your business. You kick the crap out of teams. You get to avoid Alabama. And you get the team that beats you. You get an opportunity to get revenge right now. I think this is a tough spot for Auburn to match the intensity. I'm not going to call it a letdown because you can't have a letdown in an SC Conference championship game with a spot to the playoffs at stake. But I think it's hard to match the level of intensity that they did against Georgia and then last week against Alabama. And then to do it 1 week after you play Alabama again, I think Georgia are foaming at the mouths. I like the Georgia Bulldogs in a vendetta spot here. Vendetta.
Yeah, I'm with you. And I'm not just a Georgia fan, but I picked Georgia to make the college football playoff, so I'm not backing down now. Here's the factor that I like about Georgia. Kirby Smart in revenge spots from last year had four opportunities to win rematch games against Florida, Tennessee, Florida, Tennessee, Vanderbilt, and Georgia Tech. He won those games in 2017 by a combined score of 166-28. That was 34.5 points per game. I think they get it done. They're running the football over the last couple of weeks, 8 rushing touchdowns. I think Georgia wins a 13-point game over the Auburn Tigers.
I think Miami are in a really bad spot, Joe, after losing to Pittsburgh last week. And, you know, Georgia has had a couple of weeks. They're back to their confident level right now where, you know, you ask the kids out of Georgia Bulldogs, you know, they don't feel like they lost a game. They're in the championship and they go to the playoffs. If you're Miami, I don't know, man. Frazier's confidence looked pretty shaken when he was walking off the field. And that turnover chain is cute, but it's only going to get you so far. You got a Clemson Tiger team that's really, really clamping down on defense right now. I get it. Kelly Bryant's not Deshaun Watson, but that defense is freaking fierce. And we know about Dabo's record in big football games, man. The guy gets it done.
Yeah, I'm with you. This is one of my best. This is my best pick for the weekend. Clemson's the defending national champs. They're 4-1 on the road this year against Bobtech, Louisville, South Carolina, and you look at Louisville, Virginia Tech, South Carolina. They have 4 games that they won on the road this year, and they won those games, Gabe, by 17.7 points per game. Those teams, NC State was the other team. Those teams were a combined 33-15 overall, or 687 winning percentage. When you look at Miami on the road, they're 3-1 this year against Duke, North Carolina, and Florida State, and Pittsburgh. Those teams were combined 19-28, or a 404 winning percentage, and they only won those games by 11.3 points per game. Clemson is holding opposing offenses to 28% on third downs. Miami only converting 30% on third downs. I think Clemson dominates this matchup 37-20 over the Hurricanes. My best bet of the weekend.
All right, we've only got about a minute left here. And, of course, me and Joe will go over all the games. I'll have my best bets with the boys on Saturday morning. And I'll tell you what, one of my best bets will be the Wisconsin Badgers. You know, there's been six Big Ten championship football games. The favorite has never covered before. And in fact, the underdog has won outright 4 of the 6 times. You know, I think Wisconsin match up well with Ohio State. I think the Buckeyes are overrated. I think Wisconsin's going to run the ball down the throat and beat them outright.
Yeah, this is the one game I think is the hardest to handicap. I like Ohio State for the simple fact, mobility at the quarterback position. You look at JT Barrett, you look at Haskins. When you look at Wisconsin's defense this year, they haven't faced a mobile quarterback all year in the Big Ten. I think that could be the difference. I think Ohio State wins. I think it's a very close ball game, not a dominating win, but they do pick up a low-scoring 24-14 win over the Badgers.
Joe Lisi, great stuff as always. Joe, follow Joe. Go for the two, Doc. His Twitter's great if you're a college football junkie. And the show is great, much better than College Game Day. Thanks, Joe.
Anytime, Gabe. Love the show.
We'll come back with our plays of the day next.
The award-winning Fantasy Sports Radio Network is your free fantasy source 24 hours a day, 365 days a year. You can catch this show and many others live on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app, iHeartRadio, or TuneIn Radio. Want to listen on your computer at work? Go to fntsy.com/radio or check us out on YouTube Live on the Fantasy Sports Network YouTube page, where you can ask questions, discuss topics with other fantasy enthusiasts, or tell everyone that you disagree. Call into your favorite show and ask your questions on the air. The number is 844-843-6879. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network is the only totally free 24/7, 365 days a year fantasy sports network of its kind without a subscription. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network, your fantasy source.
All right, you might as well call us Jim Carrey, man, because we've been smoking. Let's keep it going. All right, Washington Redskins tonight. Do I love this game? No. All right, recreational bet. I don't want to hear any jackass. All right, you told me to take the Redskins. I don't even like this game. All right, this game sucks. I'll barely be watching it. I'm not exaggerating. I'll watch it a bit. I'll be watching college basketball and NBA and that Leaf Oiler game. This game sucks rocks, but give me the Redskins minus 125. Let's go over 47. Jamison Crowder doesn't suck. This will probably be my best bet of the night, actually, in the football game. Give me Crowder over 5.5 catches. Let's go long field goal over 46.5 yards. Let's talk about a real sport, the NBA. Cavaliers, they're going to pace the Hawks. Let's lay the 7. It's 7.5, but I'll bite a half point, make it 7. Give me the Milwaukee Bucks, plus the 3.5. Bucks Blazers, over 201.5. Jazz are going to beat the Clippers this evening. We'll lay that on the money line. A little college basketball. Michigan State absolutely smashed North Carolina the other night. I'm not so sure about this game. I think Notre Dame might be able to cover. Look, I hate Michigan State, all right? You guys suck. Go burn some more couches, you trash. Let's go over the number, though, here. Over 139. Give me Seton Hall, man. Seton Hall played at MSG. We're going to lay the 3. Texas Tech, Seton Hall, over 136.5. Habs, Wings, under 5.5. Minnesota Wild are going to beat Vegas. Toronto Maple Leafs are going to beat Edmonton and take Seattle in soccer. Any over? Other night, you're on your own. It'll be yours.